ridiculous tale. The inaudible man, indeed. Do you seriously ask me to believe that nonsense?
We ask nothing of you, Mr. Green.
It is you who are asking us to admit you to the Mausoleum Club.
Then kindly do so at once, sir. I can tell a story as well as the rest of you.
We've already told you it's not just a simple matter of storytelling.
There's a second condition of membership.
Yes, well, what is the second?
All in good time, Mr. Green.
We need to decide whether you're suitable.
This is the most exclusive club in London.
Exclusive? Then how is it that a scion of the aristocracy like myself is kept dithering on the threshold while a colonial like you, sir, is firmly installed?
Well, sir, what better answer to that can I give than to tell you my story. A story of a journey into the very darkest heart of barbarism.
Tales from the Mausoleum Club, written by Ian Brown and James Hendry, starring Matt Frewer, Jim Broadbent, Richard Pearson, Royce Mills, Sheila Stiefel, Bill Wallace, Ron Pember, and Michael Ripper. Episode 2, Heart of Skegness.
My story begins many years ago when I was a young zealot in the Mormon mission to Europe.
God, worse and worse.
I was stationed in Brussels, and one sweltering day in June, I was summoned for an urgent meeting with my superior.
Come on in, Johnson. Oh, goddamn this heat.
Sir, blasphemy.
Oh, yeah. We've been praying for cooler weather, but I fear our new liturgy is suffering from low penetration.
The Lord will provide, sir.
Until that, the recruitment force.
Huh?
Have you seen the latest fall in our conversion rate?
Good.
Yes, Johnson.
Golly, sir, what's gone wrong?
Well, allow me to illuminate the problem with the latest visual aid.
What's that?
The magic lantern. There now, do you recognize this photographic portrait?
It's Curtis, our medal-winning emissary exhibited at Frankfurt and Paris, I believe.
Yes, this slide was taken during his record-breaking native conversion drive. 3.5 Hottentots per minute.
That fellow must have a whole parcel of charisma.
And that is not all, Johnson. We have got $8,000 worth of training invested in that man.
Which is a lot of money in these days.
So we can't afford to lose him now.
Lose him?
We've been getting disturbing rumors from Curtis's latest posting. He stopped sending dispatches in March. And our only news of him came with his monthly request for Bibles. But even those have dried up.
So what's going on?
We do not know. Some reports talk of illness, others that he's gone astray. We simply do not know. I'm sending you out to find out what's happened.
Of course, sir. I'm ready to go wherever you and the Lord send me.
Right.
Where is it? Africa? The Far East? The Caribbean?
No. Lincolnshire, England.
Where?
A little village called Skegness, the furthest outpost of our English campaign. Oh, dash these flies.
They're all God's creation.
Well, this one's going back to its manufacturer. Got you, little critter. We've chartered a steamer out of Zeebrugge on Tuesday next. It's taking a fresh consignment of Bibles to Skegness. Be on it.
Very good, sir.
The skipper is Captain White, an old sea dog of many years standing. I expect he's a bit rough and ready, but he'll see you through the worst of it.
Worst of what?
Criminy! The magic lantern! No, quick! Help me put it out! Bring back engravings!
As we hastened to douse the flames, the image of Curtis we had projected on the whited wall of that sepulchral room was gradually consumed by a fire hotter than any earthly furnace, and my heart was filled with dark forebodings of the days ahead.
Hurrah! All away, me hearties! Harder! Are you sailors or schoolgirls?
Pardon me, sir.
What is it, sir?
Might you be Captain White by any chance?
Might I? This gentleman wants to know if I might be Captain White.
What's so funny?
No, sir. I might not. You'll find him yonder.
All right, lads.
Sir?
I want these crates on that boat. I don't care who does it as long as it's done by tea time, because we'll be gone by then. Yes, oh, and And do it properly, else you'll put your backs out. Ooh, I can just see it happen.
Pardon me, Captain White?
Yes?
I'm Mr. Johnson.
Yes?
From the Mormon mission.
Oh, yes, there was a message. Look, I won't shake hands. I've got this terrible blister. Been giving me heck all day. I haven't got a pin on you.
No.
Doctor says I'm to wear gloves when pulling ropes, but they'd rag me something rotten, this lot. This is Mr. Bannister, the first mate.
Well, hello, mate.
This is Mr. Welsh, our engineer.
How do?
He's in charge of all the fiddly bits downstairs. Terribly clever, he's got a certificate. And here are the rest of our chaps. Stoker Wadsworth.
Hello.
Stoker... Hang on, I can never remember their names. I do wish they wouldn't spit so. And of course, there's Mrs. Jays, but she's probably in the kitchen creating a symphony in halibut. And this is the boat. What do you think of her?
Rose Cottage. It's a strange name for a ship.
Yes, you see, I'm not over fond of water. That's why I had her registered in Basingstoke.
Well, at least she floats.
Well, she does, as long as you remember to keep the holes above the waterline.
Steady with that crate of Bible!
Clumsy oaf. Straight into the mast.
Yes, though I'm glad to see they're showing proper respect for the word of our Lord.
But they might have bent it.
The mast? No, it's fine.
Oh. Do you think I could train a wisteria up it? Well, we tried a clematis, but it wouldn't take.
The Rose Cottage set sail on the evening tide, or as Captain White put it, as soon as the water was deep enough. And as the further coast hove into view, I repaired to my cabin and followed our course on my gentleman's folding map. The heathen strangeness of the names cast a deep shadow to my very heart. Broadstairs, Ramsgate, Herne Bay. An odd sort of route, but I trusted the captain's years of seafaring experience.
Left here, please. Left! Left! Sorry. Port. That's it. Now right. Right, I said! Give me strength. Mind that rock!
Before long, it was time for supper, to which, thanks to the captain's liberal inclinations, the whole crew was invited.
Now, don't stretch. Ask.
Mr. Johnson, another piece of boiled halibut?
No, thank you, Mrs. Jays. I've still plenty on my...
Come on. Here you are. It's brain food.
Then I should give it to Stoker Wadsworth. For goodness sake, use a hanky.
Tell me, Captain, do you think we should make port by the end of the week?
Come again?
How long will it take us to get there?
Oh, well, that depends on Mr. Welsh's engines, doesn't it, Mr. Welsh?
Well, it depends on other people's engines.
You mean there's something wrong with them?
So I understand. Something to do with gaskets.
Oh, yes, sir. The gaskets, sir. Yes, they keep blowing.
And the pistons, sir.
Definitely.
We had to buy a new one.
Six?
Six new ones, yeah. And don't forget the jointage.
Oh, yes, yeah. Nothing worse than tacky jointage, Skipper. Very expensive to put right.
All right. Spare me the details. Just take it out of the repair budget.
The repair budget.
Then there's the socket, sir. Keep coping.
Look, you look after downstairs and I'll look after upstairs, all right? Besides, Mr. Johnson doesn't want to hear all this.
On the contrary, sir, I am most anxious that our precious cargo should get through. Well, since we have such a devout crew, I'm sure the Lord will watch over our voyage.
Any more for any more, Mr. Johnson?
Captain
White?
I don't think so, thank you. Has a most distinctive flavour.
Well, I knew you'd like it, because when I made it last Easter, you wolfed it down.
Oh, so you used the same recipe?
No, I used the same fish. I had a few leftovers.
Well, I think we'll pass on to dessert.
I've done you a lovely custard marinier.
Oh, that sounds unusual.
Yes, it's got 7 species of fish in it.
Plum brandy, anyone? Brandy, Mr. Johnson?
Hold! Stay that cork in the devil's flagon!
What?
Do not partake of the juice of the vine!
But it's plums.
Do you not know the miserable pits of despair where to the liquid lane of alcoholism leads?
It was a present from my auntie. She lives in Buxton.
Ignorance, beggary, ruin, usury, filth, sweating!
idiocy, excess of saliva in our workhouse.
The only small glasses.
I would remind you, Captain, that this vessel is chartered by the Mormon Mission, and as its representative, it is my duty to ensure that there is no drinking on this ship, leading, as it does, to harlotry, infanticide, shouting strikes.
All right, the bottle's going back in the cupboard.
Look, surely you'll not deny us a sing-song.
Certainly I won't. And I shall accompany you myself on my gentleman's traveling harmonium. Wait while I unfold it.
Let's have the Turk and the captain's daughter.
No, no! The biggest mast in Maine.
Oh, yeah! Hey,
what about that one where Auntie keeps her kippers? How's it go? Where Auntie keeps her kippers?
There's room for plenty more. She used her bed to slipper.
No, 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 no! When Jesus was a sailor, he ne'er would sup a drop, but bade each tar to fill his jar with wholesome ginger pop. Come, sing up!
Captain in his cabin, the stoker in his hold, he chose his place to God's good grace and does as he is told.
Fortified thus, I withdrew to my cabin with a cheery heart and quickly fell into a deep slumber. But my peace was short-lived, and for some reason I could not fathom, my guts became racked with devilish pain. The loss of my equanimity was soon followed by the loss of my supper. When I finally slept, my dreams were invaded by feverish visions. I fancied I was Jonah in the belly of the beast, but it was not, as our scripture has it, a whale, but one of Mrs. J's boiled halibut. I was spewed forth in a welter of custard marinara onto a strange shore. There was a great smoke as of a recent battle, and when it cleared, I beheld a great multitude of corpses littered along the strand, men, women, and children. None were spared. Then I was before the gates of Nineveh, a city renowned for its size and for its sinfulness. And on the great outer wall appeared fiery letters inscribed, as I fancied, by the fingers of a man's hand. And this is the writing that was written. Welcome to Skegness.
Oh, my head. This infernal heat.
I found my watch. It was 11:15, yet outside was dark. I must have slept through the whole day. Then I realized why I had awoken. The ship had stopped.
We're becalmed. But wait, this is a steamship. How queer. Hello? Oh, there. Hello, anyone? Mrs. J's, Captain White? Welch? Bannister?
The ship was completely deserted. I entered the mess. The table was laid for the full complement of the Rose Cottage, yet not one plate of Mrs. J's eels matelot had been touched. Had the crew been spirited away? Then, above the gentle lapping of the waves, I perceived a sinister banshee wail.
Mr. Johnson!
What?
Over here! On the shore!
It was Captain White. He was wearing evening dress, top hat, and cape. And on either arm, he had a woman as scarlet as the rose behind his left ear.
Do you like it? I grew it myself.
What's happened? Are we in hell?
Almost. It's Clapton. Look, I'm not going to shout. There's a gangplank up the sharp end. Yes. Look, just beside the sweet pea trellis.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's better, isn't it?
Oh, he's really all ready for it, isn't he?
What?
Your nightshirt.
Oh, no, I beg your pardon, ladies.
Oh, I haven't been drink all that for many a year.
Would you kindly explain why we've stopped?
Well, it's all a bit complicated. Mr. Welsh said the engine had busted and he needed to go ashore for some spare or something.
But the mess, the table laid, the food untouched.
Yes, Mrs. Jay's gave us a supper, so we decided to go out for something to eat.
We did.
Yeah, well, we should have told you, but you look so green it would have been a shame to disturb you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that reminds me. I've heard some talk about your Mr. Curtis.
Yes.
It seems he's taken a bit poorly, too.
Yes.
He's getting up to some very rum things. Introducing, so they say, certain strange practices. Shut up.
But isn't he leading his flock?
Well, oh, yes. He's made himself mayor of Skegness.
What?
Yes, I gather he's become very popular with the locals. Everyone's going there.
Well, this smacks of heresy. There's no time to lose. We must press on. Where's the crew?
Well, they're just behind. They're a bit more, slow.
My cigar, my Havana cigar. The ladies all swoon when I bring it to town. It's long and it's thick and it costs half a crown. The people all cheer when I wave it about, 'cause it's 9 inches long and 4 inches stout.
Stop! Stop this! Stop! Stop! Yes, you stop! Stop! Captain, these men are drunk!
Yes, I expect it's the alcohol.
I thought I expressly forbade the consumption of liquor on board my ship.
And that's why we came ashore, mate.
Oh, well, it is his night off.
Well, this is the end of it. We sail now to Skegness, and there'll be no more landings. Now get on board. And you, Mrs. Jays?
That's right. Come with me, Mr. Johnson, and I'll do you a nice big helping of pickled trout. Mr. Johnson, I do believe you've been drinking.
I cannot describe the horror of the next few days, but I suppose I'd better. All manner of abominations I had to suffer. Boiled, grilled, lightly poached in dill sauce. The closeness of the heat weighed upon us heavily, and we wondered which would break first, our spirits or the weather. On the fifth day out of Zeebrugge, we had our answer.
There goes the summer. I ask you.
Back down the archers! You men, pop the bilges!
Hello, Colonel! Aye, aye, sir!
Yes, and when you've sorted all that out, I'll put the kettle on.
Look out, Captain! The mast! Oh!
Oh, well, bang go my plans for the wisteria.
Captain! Captain, we're shipping water. Something terrible in the engine room.
I told you to keep those holes above sea level.
We could do. We're losing some ballast, sir.
Oh, well, we haven't really got anything to lose.
What about them great sacks of compost?
Oh, no, we couldn't do that.
Is there anything I can do to help, Captain?
No, not just now. We're a bit tied up with... Mr. Johnson, you know those Bibles?
Yes.
You need all of them?
No, sir, not the Bibles.
Shush. You see, if we don't chuck them over the side, we're all going to die.
No, Captain. We must preserve the word of the Lord at all costs.
No. I must agree with the captain. If there be sacrifices, better ink and paper than flesh and blood.
No.
Come on! Get your skates on and we'll be going down with them. Right. I've got the first crate rigged up now. Haul away, Mr. Johnson.
Aye, aye, Captain!
Take your hands from that winch, sir.
That's right.
What's the meaning of this? They're my Bibles. I'll do as I please with them.
Aye, and it'll please you to leave them in the old.
Go to your posts!
No,
to your posts, I say, or I'll have you licking the deck with your tongue.
You'll make a marvelous captain.
Stand aside, Johnson, unless you want this marlin spike in your vitals.
Never! Get him, lads!
You fools! The winch! What? Those aren't Bibles!
Looks like the cat's out of the crate.
Bottles of French brandy.
Come on, lads. Don't let it run to waste.
Oh, no, you're right.
What's going on up here?
See for yourself.
Oh, you got them licking the deck then?
The rest of the ballast was quickly disposed of. And as the ship made its unsteady course along the dark coast, I found out that the crew, hearing of a great demand for liquor in Skegness, had substituted brandy for Bibles back in Zeebrugge. So much for the repair budget. Skegness. My mind swam with questions. What manner of fleshpot was this that rivaled Babylon in its worst excesses? What Tower of Babel was Curtis raising against the Almighty? Would they make me eat fish? We were soon to find out.
Morning, Mr. Johnson. Cup of tea?
Oh, thank you. How are the crew?
Oh, they're still sleeping off the incident.
For 3 days?
Yes. But who needs a crew when you're working wonders with the stoking?
Thank you.
I'd give you a hand myself, but I'm a martyr to my blister. Oh, by the way, we've arrived.
What?
Yes, 2 hours ago. I'd have told you, but it seemed a shame to interrupt your shoveling.
Oh.
Look, come up and have a look.
What's that sound? What are they building?
Well, we'll see soon enough when the mist clears.
Well, I can't wait for that. I'm going to row ashore.
Oh, you are brave.
It's all in the service of the Lord.
I was thinking of your poor hands.
By the time I set foot on the shore, the sun had broken through the mist. And then, looking over to the left, I beheld in the distance a terrifying sight. The beach strewn with men, women, and children. The bodies in my dream. I ran, I'm ashamed to say, as if the devil were at my heels, little suspecting that he was ahead of me.
I hope, Mr. Johnson, remember me?
It was a diabolic civic procession. And there, at its head, was the familiar face of the great Curtis, born on a popish litter, a chain of office about his neck and a town crier at each corner, accompanied by all manner of brazen instruments.
Did you get the hooch?
What?
You know, Elgin Bannister, did they bring the arnold?
The liquor, sir, has been destroyed.
Oh, well, no matter. It's no use to me. Got a diggy constitution, you see. Have to watch what I have.
Seems to have affected your voice, too.
Oh, the action. Well, you try your best to fit in.
But what is the meaning of this horror?
The horror? The horror?
Yes, the bodies on the beach.
Oh, they're just people sunbathing. It's quite good on, you know. But hop onto the stretcher and I'll tell you more.
Not another one.
With reflected sunlight from his chain of office dancing round his face like fire, Curtis explained his schemes. He planned to turn Skegness into what he called a holiday resort, much like the old English spas, but appealing to a different class of folk, a haven of licentiousness, where they were encouraged to squander their earnings on drink, sweetmeats, and deck chairs, the very antithesis of thrift, hard work, and obedience. But worse was to come.
And there she is, our pride and joy.
Pride?
Well, what do you think?
You're building a Tower of Babel. But sideways?
It's a pier, you daft ape.
What?
We'll have all sorts of amusements on it. A penny arcade.
Avarice.
What the butler saw next.
Lust.
And a grand hall of mirrors.
Vanity.
Curtis, think of your mission. Think of your vows.
Think of the money. Oh, yes, we're going to rake in £1,000 a week from this.
Huh.
It's what I've been trained for. Persuasion. Same as you. Any road, I'm off to have a nap now, then have me tea. See you and your friends at the pier for the grand opening ceremony tomorrow morning. 10 o'clock sharp. Take it away, lads.
That night I lay awake, wrestling with my soul. Should a man misuse his God-given talents in such a way? Yet if these talents were a gift from God, was it not right and proper they should be used to the brim of their capacity? The next morning, we waited by the pier. All were present. Captain White, Welch, Bannister, Mrs. Jays, and a sizable crowd. But of the central figure in today's ritual, there was no sign.
I say, I don't think much of your Mr. Curtis's timekeeping. He may be the devil incarnate, but keeping guests waiting is downright rude.
An hour and a half we waited. Then just as the band was starting on the dashing white sergeant, for the 17th time, the lone figure of a town crier came racing up the pier.
Mr. Curtis!
Yes, what's happened?
Mr. Curtis, he dead!
It was true. Mr. Curtis had died that morning after a night racked with fever and pain. A mysterious gift of boiled halibut from a well-wisher had proved too much for what he called his dicky constitution.
But who could have perpetrated such a vile deed?
Well, Skegness is now a thriving seaside resort. Fun for all the family, safe bathing, miles of sandy beaches. It's so bracing. And, of course, special reductions for Mausoleum Club members.
Well, what a road to Damascus that was. Now, tell me, how is it that you now heap extravagant praise on a resort you're only now describing in terms that would make Sodom and Gomorrah blanch with modesty?
Well, Mr. Green, I suppose it's civic pride. You got to stick up for your hometown, especially when you're the mayor. Any road, must catch my train. I'll leave you some brochures.
Some what?
Tales from the Mausoleum Club, Episode 2, Heart of Skegness, was written by Ian Brown and James Hendry and starred Matt Frewer, Jim Broadbent, Richard Pearson, Royce Mills, Sheila Stiefel, Bill Wallace, Ron Pember, and Michael Ripper. Music was by Max Harris. The producer was Paul Spencer.
The horror.
No wonder Mr. Johnson left so hurriedly.
How so, sir?
Well, after spinning such a ludicrous yarn as Heart of Skegness, I don't think I'd wait to have my story further scrutinized.
Well, Mr. Green, if the veracity of our story is paternal, you'll wish to go home now. Before we discommode you further.
No. It's no hardship for me to remain here until the Mausoleum Club admits me as a member.
Mr. Green is by no means certain that we shall...
You see, when I tell a story, I draw on the perennial source of true life tales in my father. Did I tell you he was a high court judge?
Yes, you did.
But Mr. Green... Might I suggest that it is one thing to view the sewer of humanities that flows past your window, but quite another to sink your arms in it up to the elbows and unblock its sluices with your bare hands.
Yeah. Where did this jack-in-the-box spring from? And wearing a Kingston collar in a gentleman's club.
The Mausoleum Club pays no heed to class.
So I see. And what kind of villain are you, sir, that has such an intimate knowledge of human waste?
Villain? Have you not heard of Chalker of the Yard?
Chalker? Of the Yard? I do believe my father, Lord Justice Green. Yes. Well, I think he has mentioned that name. So, Mr. Chalker, let's hear your party piece.
Gentlemen.
Very well. One more won't do any harm.
Yes, plenty.